Cespedes makes money and history. J.R. Smith has an epic brain fart, and the Big Ten has a big argument ahead of this weekend's Selection Sunday. All this and more up next on Sports Weekly.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live, Sports Weekly.
Are y'all bouncing back after we were off last week? Are y'all bouncing back to a new episode of Sports Weekly every Thursday night at 7 o'clock? Wait. Is that your pancake dance for bouncing back? I like it. Are you stirring the batter down? What?
Make the batter.
Hey, guys. You missed us. I know you missed us. We missed y'all. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy holidays. Happy December. Happy end of 2016. Thank God. This has been like the worst year ever.
Why are you saying that? Why?
It's been the worst year ever.
Have you been here?
I've been here, but, you know, I count my
blessings. Were you alive on November day?
Every day is a new day to me, so I'm just happy to be alive.
Every Thursday night at 7 o'clock Sports Week with Mary Renee Davis. You can find me on this camera. You can find me on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Insta Story at Erica Renee D.
Hey, guys. Welcome back. My name is Charlie L. Myers. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
What's up, guys? It's Joshua Johnson here. Find me on all social media platforms. Talk basketball, NBA, everything. JJ the Talented.
Hey guys, I'm Raina. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Raina_LA.
And as always, follow all things Black Hollywood Live on blackhollywoodlive.com. Follow us on Twitter at BHL Online. Follow us on Instagram at The Sports Weekly, but we haven't really been posting, but we're going to get back on top of
Charlie.
New year, new us. We're revamping.
Yes, we are. Revamping. Coming back, brand new look 2017. Watch us. You don't believe us?
We're going to negotiate your CBA.
Believe me, just watch. Anyways, I'm excited to be back, you guys. I'm excited to see your faces. I don't know. I tried. It is off season, but there's been a lot of things going on in Major League Baseball. Most recently, Yoenis Cespedes. I always say his name wrong. Yoenis Cespedes got a huge contract from the Mets. He re-signed with them. He's doing a
100 Charles million. Must be tired like me.
100,000, that ain't nothing.
Yeah, $110 million. That's better. For over 4 years, $27.5 a year.
Shmoney.
And that is the most ever for an outfielder. So I want to get your guys' opinion on that. Is that too much money? Are they setting a bar, or is it something that they're setting a statement to Major League Baseball because of the new guidelines that the CBA just had? What do you guys think?
You know, I always hesitate to talk about what too much money is when it comes to professional sports. I feel like, can you hear me, voice of God? I don't know, I feel like I can't hear myself. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm always hesitant to say, oh, that's too much money, because once you factor in all the money that comes in from advertising dollars and sponsors and ad revenue, whatever money goes into making the CBAs work for every professional league, obviously they set those caps based on what they know their profit margins are. I mean, for the average person, is that a little bit exorbitant? Yeah, it's ridiculous. But for the profit margins that MLB knows that they're making, a team's not going to pay a player that much money and lose out.
Right. These teams are making billion-dollar contracts with TV networks. So they get a lot of money from TV networks. And so when you factor that in, that's, you know, he's being paid what his perceived value is. Mm-hmm. And so if you can get that much, by all means, get your money.
Right.
And also, I'd say, like, for baseball players, they play so many games. And
too many games.
162 games in the season. And not only that, but their games are, like, back-to-back. They travel, and then they have games, like, 3 days in a row sometimes. So
sometimes two in a day. Are they still doing 2 days? Like, doubleheaders?
Oh, yeah, doubleheaders, yeah.
It depends on if they get rained out.
And it also, like, the games can last forever, right? Like, the innings, if it's tied, it keeps going and going. So I think that right there, I mean, that's why they can get paid so much money. I mean, that's a factor.
I get all of your points. My point would be, is it too much to pay him as a player?
Okay. This is his fifth year in the league?
His fifth year in the league. He's been jumping around teams. He's had problems with teams. Mm-hmm. It seems like they shipped him off before that. I'm not discounting that his power is there. He is clutch when they need him. But I don't know. He strikes out a lot. He makes a lot of errors. Beyond him being a power bat, I don't see him adding much to the Mets.
But isn't the thing with Cespedes that when he is healthy, the Mets have traditionally done better?
Like the fact is known that he has, when he is playing, the team that he's playing for has a 70% win rate, something like that. So that is still there. But what dumbfounds me is that he's getting paid more than Mike Trout. He's getting paid more than Stanton by at least $2 million. Two far better players, in my opinion.
Yeah, so that's questionable, but his value to that team still, no. For them, is worth $27.5 million.
But he's the only, again, I know. You guys don't keyhole with the Mets as much as Mets fans or anybody else out there, but their outfield, besides Yoenis Cespedes, is pretty weak. Mm-hmm. They don't have anybody out there besides him, and I get that the free agency this year is few and far between, so they needed to sign him, but for that much, that's where the question is. I hope that it pans out for them, but I see him getting injury prone. He's known for playing a couple games and then getting injuries, so...
Well, I mean, he's made the promise that he's going to bring a World Series ring to the Mets.
That's a hefty.
And the Mets haven't made a World. They haven't made. Well, they made the playoffs six times in the past 30 years, something like that. And they won in 1986 the last time. Yep. So that
Bridesmaid, never bride.
Yeah. I mean, if LeBron James could do it for the Cavs, I say anyone could do it.
LeBron James.
I feel like it's different.
I'm not comparing Cespedes to LeBron James. I'm just saying, like, if you make that kind of promise, like you put that kind of pressure on your shoulders, and you have that kind of money in your pocket and you have that kind of commitment from a team to you, I think that puts a fire in your ass. Like, I think that makes you work that much harder, especially when you articulate it to the entire world that I'm gonna bring a championship. I think
that's strong words.
That's you got how many years? You got 4 years to do it.
4 years.
You know who could help him with that? Your boy.
Who?
Oh, God.
Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow, baby.
Why does it always go full circle right there?
He's going to make his way up. I'm telling you.
Sign Tim Tebow.
Did y'all see that Tim Tebow said that he thought he was going to be the heir apparent to in his new book? There's a quote in his book where he says that he thought when he got signed by the Patriots that he was going to be Tom Brady's heir apparent.
I can see Tim Tebow saying that because he probably thinks God is like... on his side. So.
God is on everyone's side. Yes,
not
he is.
Tim Tebow,
but not Tim Tebow.
Not Tim Tebow. Thank you, Josh. since I don't want to talk about Tim Tebow anymore, let's move on to the CBA deal. So there's something that just happened. They were going to go on strike if they didn't get a deal done by today. It was between the players' union and the owners. Pretty much they set out a deal for the next 5 years, I believe. Mm-hmm. Their luxury tax is up. The big thing that I saw were two things. That the All-Star Game is not determining the World Series home advantage.
Good deal.
Which is a big deal.
We talked about that, I think.
I'll give you my opinions on it in just a minute, but... The last one that I thought was a big, big deal is that no more tobacco smoking.
If you're a new player, though, right?
No. This is grandfathered in.
Wait. I thought that the older players. I thought the older players got grandfathered in. They could still. They could still. Chew their smokeless tobacco, but the newer players cannot.
Yeah. My fault. Yes, you are correct. You are correct. So,
I know my baseball.
Yeah, you are correct. You are correct.
But that's major, though. Like,
yeah, because a lot of players have addictions to that, and that could hinder the way that they play.
Mm-hmm. Can't just cut it.
Yeah, I know it's not. Yeah, I see it being a hindrance in the minor leagues or people going into the majors. And
what, like, did they list a? Bullet points for why they thought that rule should be enforced? Like, what was the rationale behind that?
I'm assuming that it's just a lot of players have complained about it, and they don't want it around their clubhouse.
Why?
But... I don't care. As long as they're hitting the ball a million miles, I'm fine with that. But apparently the new CBA does not like it, so...
No, tobacco, they're chewing it, right? So does it have anything to do, like, if you're smoking, how you can kind of mess up your... You know, you can't run as fast or run as hard.
I mean, I don't know much about tobacco, but I know that if you quit it cold turkey, that you're not going to be performing at 100%.
You're not going to be happy. That's like not having your coffee.
Yeah, see? Just like me early in the show. I just fumbling over more words.
Me too. Throughout the entire show.
Tired as hell. but the one thing that I want to bring up is the luxury tax. And the All-Star Game. Let's start with the luxury tax. Do you find this is good? or bad for the league?
I was a little confused now. So they are basically saying for every player who is paid over the cap,
correct,
you have to pay not just one lump sum for five players, but you have to pay for every player that goes
correct
over. I mean, I don't know.
It's for me, it's great for big market teams. The Yankees, the Mets now, these big market teams, the Dodgers are going to benefit from that. But the small market teams,
yeah,
they're going to diminish, and they're not ever going to win a championship with that way. You see it now in a few part between. The Cubs, yes, they had young talent, but mm-hmm, they had big contracts to help them with
those.
They
got those, lucky.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
Randy, you were going to say something.
No, I kind of was going to point on what Charlie said. I mean, it's tough because, you know, I don't think it's fair for all teams. So I'm not really, I don't know if I like that.
The luxury tax.
The luxury tax. I think it should be even up between everyone. But I mean,
yeah.
Well, didn't they, because of that new luxury tax rule, like didn't they give some kinds of concessions to smaller market teams, like the 15 smaller market teams?
That I didn't see. But maybe you saw something that I didn't. But I just feel bad for my team because my team that I follow is a small market team.
Oakland's considered a small market?
Yeah. I mean, Moneyball has been our niche since the early 90s. So, we don't sign big players. We develop the big players and then we trade them off.
And so this handcuffs a team like Oakland, right?
Exactly.
Because if they want to sign a big player, that's going to take up all their cap space. And then,
Well, what could those smaller market teams do to circumvent the problems that come along with, like, how can you get an influx of money?
That one's tough. I mean, get a new ballpark. Get a city that is going to be able to fund you without the management's help, I guess. Mm. But that's tough.
That is tough.
Yeah. And then the last one, the All-Star. Mm. I'll go last on this one because I don't like it. But what do you guys think about
it? I thought you liked it before when you talked about
I liked the fact that they
you're changing it.
I like the fact that they were playing for home field advantage.
Oh, okay.
They took that away.
We talked about
that before. They are using kind of everybody else's rule, mm-hmm, NBA. Whoever has the best record is going to have home field advantage.
Okay.
And what they're playing for now is a pool of money. That's the gist.
What do you mean? I missed that.
Whatever team wins the All-Star game is going to win a pool of money distributed to the other players.
To the players.
Like they need some more money.
What?
Get out of here.
Yeah.
But they make a lot of money off the game.
I like the fact that they were playing for something. And now they're not playing for anything, but it's going to be a showboat. It's just going to be them hitting home runs.
Yeah.
And
isn't that what you want as a fan, though? You want to see the home run. You want to see the big
I'll ask you this. Do you watch the All-Star game and get invested into it in the NBA?
In the NBA, yeah.
No, you don't.
No, I
don't
do.
Lie to me.
I always root for the West.
You're lying. You don't watch it.
Tell me I'm lying. I root for the West.
At a certain point, you're like, oh, my God, it's 190 points.
No, I love that. And I love high scores. I love when the West wins.
The only thing I pay attention to is the
three-point
shootout and the dunk contest. I could care less
about that. I watch it every year.
I like watching the actual game. I don't know, and I do want the West to win, but
like
I do feel like...
Just like the Rockets and the Warriors shooting today, it's just going to be three-pointers.
And dunks.
And dunks, yeah.
But I don't know, I like watching the game. I think sometimes, hopefully, like if you have a matchup between the East and the West, like... I don't know. Sometimes players would, you know, do something crazy, and then we don't really see during the season, you know. So that's just
it's a fun game.
For some people
game.
Who are fans of basketball, the actual game, like I think that they would actually watch the All-Star.
See, I think people who are real like students and like real fans of the game are irritated as hell by the All-Star game because it's not even a game. It's like watching your homeboys from high school like get out there in their tank tops.
A lot of times NBA games can be like that too, even regular season
games.
Yeah,
but you know, by the time you get to All-Star break, by the time February comes around, by the time you know you have Popovich resting his players, by the time half of your team is injured, no one's going out there playing. There's no defense. So that's not a real game. Like defense wins championships.
Mm-hmm. But that's not why you tune in. You tune in because it's marquee players playing a game with each other and doing highlight moves. That's why you tune in. It's fun,
mm-hmm. but it's a very baseless, superficial game.
Yeah, and this will be my last point because I want us to move on. But baseball is notoriously known for being the boring sport.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have nothing to play for in that All-Star mm-hmm. game, more people are not going to tune in, and they're going to lower the ratings slower and slower. That's my opinion.
But then you get a team like, was it this year, Chicago, that didn't get home
field
advantage.
They got screwed.
So that's why I feel it's better. It's for the team who does the work, wins the games, and they get rewarded with home field advantage, like in every other sport.
I don't know. I mean, I felt badly for Chicago this year. I mean, yeah. Obviously, you know, they overcame that obstacle. But at first, I think we talked about it on the show. I'm pretty sure we did. I was like, oh, this sucks that they don't have home field advantage or home field. I don't know about this one, Charlie.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I feel like it's a step in the right direction. They need to make more moves as far as in-game. They need to have a timer. They need to cut the games to possibly 82 games. They need to...
Ooh, half? Cut it in half?
That's a big cut.
Yeah. They needed to make big moves. Otherwise, they're going to lose a big market that they used to have.
Oof.
That's a huge baseball fan saying that right now. We need to make changes because the world is changing.
Oh, TV timeout. Voice of God. Do we have a live read today? If we do, I don't have it. Just want to throw that
out. I will check on that for you.
Okay. Josh.
But yeah, that's all I got to say.
Well, you
speaking
guys
of money, May.
Stop talking about Floyd Mayweather because he shut y'all down with your hateration.
I don't think he did.
You're going to stop comparing him to Ronda Rousey, tell him to get in the ring with Conor McGregor.
He should totally fight Conor McGregor.
Oh my God, I was so happy when I saw that.
Conor McGregor will get his ass whooped.
Okay, so I'll let you go because I have something to say about that. But
that's not even the issue. So Floyd posted on Instagram the other day, $100 million takeaway from his fight against Pacquiao in 2015. The guy hasn't cashed a check yet. He doesn't need it, obviously, but he's shutting you guys down.
I'm sure he cashed it.
He's basically paying himself because it's his production company. It's his
don't
promotional
they have
company.
Direct deposit,
right? But he wrote it. It's made out to him from his promotional company. Let me read you guys real quick the Instagram caption that went with it. He says, "Gotta love these backseat drivers so worried about another man's legacy instead of trying to write their own. Ultimately, I will always have the last laugh. This is just one of many checks, a cool $100 million that I still have every dime of. Y'all have to work however. I'm happily retired." He goes on to say, you know, you guys made fun of my reading. I couldn't read or write or count, but here I am with this $100 million check. Y'all gonna shut up. That's what he's saying, basically. Mm. Is this petty on his part, or is he justified?
He's always been a little petty, though.
Is this Floyd like normal? This normal
is Floyd.
Floyd?
This is normally Floyd. Like,
big deal, no big deal. What do you think?
For me, it's no big deal because we're used to this. If it was somebody else, I'd be like, oh, okay, well, he's being flashy for this point in time. But Floyd's known for this. He's known for being
done
the...
It's pretty, like, par for the course.
I feel like he made this exact post last year when people were trolling him for being illiterate. Maybe not that check, but I feel that something happened around this time last year, maybe right after the fight, where someone's like, oh, he can't read, he can't write. And he did, like, a video or a troll. Someone... Yep.
With somebody else.
He came at somebody on the red carpet or something. Maybe it was Ronda Rousey came after. Was it 50 Cent?
50 Cent. Was it 50 Cent? They were going back at each other about
nothing. I think so.
He was talking about a Harry Potter book, right? He said, I'll pay you money if you could read this Harry Potter book.
Right. You know, here's the thing. Like,
he can buy the Harry Potter franchise.
Oh, God, yeah. I think that this is definitely petty. I think it's consistent with Floyd Mayweather's petty antics. But I do think that someone, and I'm going to get all like philosophical, but I do think someone with Floyd's influence needs to take more seriously the fact that it's important to be able to read and write in America. Because, I mean, seriously, I had this huge...
You always got to make it like...
Well, because like when it comes to little ethnic boys, like... A lot of ethnic boys who grow up in less than ideal set of circumstances grow up thinking they can be Floyd and they can be LeBron or they can be, you know, J.R. Smith.
And
a lot of them can, but think about the small percentages that actually do reach that level of success. Yeah. So the message that it sends to his million-plus Instagram and social media followers is that I don't have to know how to read and write because I have a $100 million check. And that's not everyone's, that's not every little black boy's reality. So as opposed to just being petty and just trolling, be petty and troll. I get that. It comes with the territory, like with your brand. But also make sure you stress the importance of being able to read because he's an anomaly. Most people don't have that kind of success, black, white, no matter what your ethnicity
exactly.
is.
We know Floyd can read.
Do we know that Floyd can read?
I'm pretty sure that he can read. $100 million on his check and know it's made out
to anybody
him.
Can look at zeros right. and ones. And you, anyone can spell your
but
name.
Why can't this say... Right. I agree with what you're saying. He can use that influence to, you know, to... make a better statement to young
yes.
boys and girls growing up. But at the same time, can he also say, like he did, he used his talent, parlayed his talent, he worked hard, he employed discipline mm-hmm. in his sport, and he took himself to the top of his sport and was very successful at it. We can do that in any level, whether you're boxing, whether you're doing math, whether you're an IT support guy. You know what I mean? Like, this is what he did, and he had to show discipline in doing it, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but you have to, I feel like, as a black man, you have the pressure of the world, like the weight on the world on your shoulders to say, I'm rich, I'm talented, but it's important that you read a book.
I think that it's definitely important as an athlete to mm-hmm. be an example on the field, court, ring. Whatever, you know, to work hard, put the extra work in, discipline you on drinking too. He didn't drink mm-hmm. his diet, mm-hmm. but... Also, on the other hand, I agree with Erica. Like, you have to be an example off the field or out of the ring or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, posting stuff like this, flaunting your money. I think he had a post one time of like all the strippers,
yeah.
and his money.
Yeah.
Like,
you
like
saw that, Charlie. You know, you saw that.
I mean, I just feel like that.
Swipe through it real quick.
That's cool to you know, us and everything, but it's just the younger kids that want to be boxers. I want to be a boxer so I can have all them naked women dancing
right.
around me and flaunt my money. I don't know. I just feel like that's a little over top, but that's Floyd. It's who he
that's
is.
Who
and
is.
I respect him for being real. You know
the,
what I'm saying?
The last thing I got to say about it is I find it disrespectful in a way. Because,
the check? You find the check disrespectful?
Well, to people
Comment.
That actually have disabilities. So I'll say this
oh,
to you.
Like reading disabilities?
Yeah,
reading
exactly.
I'll
say this to you. I have dyslexia.
Okay.
And if I were to read something off a prompter, it would be terrible. You would think that I couldn't read. But... Again, he's discounting that because he can't actually read. He's if you look at him, he doesn't have an excuse. He doesn't say, "Oh, I have a disability." He just says, "Look at my money. Look at my money. Look at my money. Look at my money." It's disrespectful. Again, that for me, money's not everything. But
I think my big takeaway from this though is who is this guy without the money? Because he's always flashing his money.
Good, yeah.
But who is this guy without the money? Like
exactly.
I want to go.
He can still box. I will give
deep.
Him that 100%.
Because if you're constantly flaunting that. Like, what else do you have? Like, is it like a self-esteem thing, do you think?
I
think so.
He seems to have a big ego and self-esteem, but a lot of people like that, though, they really don't.
I think it has everything to do with self-esteem because he has the money, so he feels like he can act a certain way, but that's just not, I don't know.
What would he be doing if he wasn't a boxer?
I mean,
State Farm agent.
I think you'd be like a personal trainer on Instagram.
A personal trainer. An yeah. Instagram personal
Instagram
trainer.
Personal.
They are out there.
Yeah.
Those Instagram models.
Yeah.
Y'all out there hustling.
J.R. Smith is out there. He's like way out of bounds. In the game against Milwaukee, in which they got blown out.
I love watching
J.R. Smith had a mental lapse or a brain fart, as Erica put it. In our intro.
Brain fart.
Can we roll that video? Let's
That's
see what J.R. Smith did.
what was I thinking?
Yeah, what was I thinking? Let's see what he was
It
was
so confusing to me. I don't even understand why he did
it. Inbounds play, and he's hugging Jason Terry off the side.
Uh-oh, here it is.
So Tony Snell got the dunk.
At
the top of your
screen. Okay. Top left.
Top left.
Okay.
He's dapping up Jason Terry.
Why do you do that? Do not understand.
During gameplay. Easy bucket. He just like, when interviewed after the game, you know.
He was in the damn fight.
He was being interviewed. He said, this is my alter ego. He had a ski mask on. He's like, I didn't even know I was in the game.
He didn't even know what play they were talking about.
Which I think was a joke. I really hope it was a joke. But
wait, you hope the whole thing was a joke,
no,
or you
I
hope
him
not knowing?
Him not knowing that he was in the game was a joke. It might take this is unprofessional to me. This is very unprofessional. Completely boneheaded on his
I'm
part.
Confused.
And if I'm Tyronn Lue, I would bench him for the rest of that game and the next game. Because you know how like in high school and college, like coaches are hard on you. Like you
they
make
will.
A bonehead play like that, you're out this game and the next game.
Just and you're running
point.
Laps.
And if you're LeBron James, who is clearly the leader of this team. He should have a conversation with J.R. Smith.
Absolutely.
Like, cut the bullshittery.
Yeah, that's
We're
when you
a championship
have to...
Team.
LeBron doesn't want it with J.R. Smith.
So,
but
J.R. Smith is there because of LeBron.
True.
Before I say this, I'm not defending them by any means, but they were playing the Bucks. Yes, they got blown out by the Bucks, but there's a lot of games in the NBA.
Not if they need baseball.
This is 1-82.
Yeah, so I think that if they said, hey... if we lose this game, you're going to owe us money. At that point, then they would change. Then they would have beat down on the Bucks. I feel like they feel like the season is a wash. I feel like that they think that they're going to win the championship this year, and they don't care. That's going to be their downfall later on, but I feel like that's what their mentality is.
So that's what you think drove J.R. Smith out of bounds?
Correct.
I don't know. He was thinking of all that.
I don't know either.
No. I'm not saying. I'm not saying that he was thinking about it. I just think he didn't care about the game, and he was just like, "Oh, there's my buddy. I'm gonna go say hi."
Why would he do?
Yeah, that was
gameplay.
That was so stupid. Like, you can't. I think everyone can agree that that was the stupidest thing. Like, I've never seen anything like that before. That should have been the number one on Shaq in a Fool. I'm sure Shaq had something to say with that.
He had something to say about
but,
that.
But I don't know. I kind of agree with you, Charlie. I think that. Other players, it's hard because I think certain players are taking every single game serious, and I think LeBron is definitely one of them. So I think JR definitely has that mentality. But in this situation, I think LeBron has to separate his friendship and become a leader and really be the one to talk to him. Because at the end of the day, I don't think Tyronn Lue has that much of a emphasis on what JR does or not, but
I
do think
he didn't seem like he cared.
I think today he made a statement that he's very disappointed on JR's behavior, but I think LeBron has more of an impact than Tyronn Lue does on JR and his behavior, because that would piss me off if that was my teammate,
right?
And I want to win a game. We're losing too.
I'm still confused. Was he high? Was he drunk?
I'm thinking,
was he
high? Maybe,
was he
during the game?
The night before they did something fun.
Was he
after
a hangover?
He probably thought that like the game didn't start, the clock didn't start yet, and he was like, "Oh, I'm gonna say what's up to you real quick."
True.
But why during game? Like, there's a game going on.
Because like, we can't really...
Do him and Floyd hang out together?
Probably.
I feel like they should.
Possibly. I don't get it.
That's a big deal to answer your question. I think that J.R. Smith brain fart is a huge deal. It's a big deal to me because I just don't comprehend it. Maybe he heard a whistle that no one else heard. I don't know. Like, I can't...
I really
want to find the logic behind why.
I feel like he didn't know that the game started. I don't think it came.
That is your sole purpose. The reason why you're on the court is because there's a game.
The ball was inbounded yet. I think he really thought, okay, we got some time. We just got some time. You know, they didn't inbound the ball yet. I'm gonna go say what's up.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
But either way, you should wait till the end of the game to do that.
Another team, though. He's another team. It's not even like his teammate.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like you're fighting with the enemy during the game. It's like
that's weird. And then to wear the ski mask during
he was tipsy. He was hungover.
That's kind of childish because you're not gonna see LeBron do that. You're not gonna see
especially after you mess up like that. Like
right, own it. In my opinion,
I love how real JR can be, but I think in that sense that was just completely unprofessional. You should have been owning up. Like I don't know what I was thinking. I'm sorry. I that was terrible on me. But instead he just had that. No. It was funny.
Yes.
It was funny.
Now, would we be talking about this as if he was playing well this season? Because the Cavs are doing great without him.
They're losing right now to my Clippers. But
I think so. I think we should be talking about it because it's a boneheaded play. It's like, how did this happen?
I would, and I think if it was anybody I think that would have been on Shaq in the Fool.
Really?
I agree with you.
Oh, it's a one night thing still, but it's still a crazy play.
It is a crazy play, but if J.R. Smith was having a stellar season right now, if he wasn't dragging his ass, we would be like, ha ha, that's so silly.
Yeah.
But he scored 35 points.
If JaVale McGee did this?
JaVale, who is he? Is he still in the league?
Yes, he is.
He's actually on the Warriors.
He's on the Warriors.
Oh, Lord. How old is he?
I don't know. He's not that old. Like, he's not.
JaVale McGee was on Shaq in a Fool. Four of his plays was on Shaq in a Fool.
Has he been in the league since like 2000?
Like Brandon Knight? Was it Brandon Knight?
Oh, when he
Phoenix
had dunks on. Oh, yeah, poor Brandon.
A big deal, in my opinion.
Big
as a
deal.
Professional, you shouldn't be making that
big
mistake.
Deal.
He won't get fined or suspended, but.
I think LeBron should get on his ass, though,
LeBron
for
should
sure.
Be all up in that ass.
Because if that was. I mean, they lost, too, so I think
to
the
Bucks.
Bucks.
But Giannis, he's good.
Definitely, yeah.
He's sure. Good.
Who's good?
Antetokounmpo.
Oh, he's having a great year.
Greek freak. This next topic though is pretty. I think it's controversial.
This is some tea.
There's a lot of opinions on this. This is a big deal. I think, especially here in LA. This
Jeff
is the LA
Fisher,
market.
Jeff Fisher, name is Petty Betty.
LA Rams. So the story
Petty
goes.
Betty.
So Eric Dickerson Rams great, Hall of Famer, made some comments.
He said, directed, y'all ain't shit.
Directed ahead. the coach of LA Rams, Jeff Fisher, said, you know, he's not doing a good job. You know, said a few words about his performance as a coach. Jeff Fisher calls Eric Dickerson up and says, I'm not going to have you disrespecting my team, my coaches, and then ask for passes to the sideline to the games, which he had been
4-6.
Which
four,
he had been
four,
getting
seven, sorry,
up
four,
to that
seven.
Point.
You're
which
four,
he had
seven.
Been getting up to that point, Eric Dickerson. So he's like, well, I'm not going to be granting you these passes, and you can't, you know, we don't want you on the sideline. You're making our players uncomfortable. Eric Dickerson comes back and says, as long as Jeff Fisher is coach, I'm not stepping foot to another Rams game in the Coliseum. Mm. This is a big story.
To clarify, the sideline passes were for him and his
and friends.
And his friends. Not just
and
his friends.
But
it
still.
Was just him and
but
his
yeah.
friends. Okay.
Him and his friends. So Eric Dickerson wanted sideline passes. He had been giving it to... He'd been
getting them.
Getting
yeah.
them in the past.
Doesn't he have the single season record for most rushing yards?
Yeah.
Ezekiel's going to smash that this year, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Anyway,
they're
sorry.
Playing right now.
Yeah.
No, but this is an interesting story. I just want to get you guys' take on it.
Let me say this: Jeff Fisher. I try to be a Rams fan, but they are hard as hell to watch.
Oh,
they are hard to watch. First thing. Second thing: Jeff Fisher is the only head coach who has been a head coach for team after team, year after year, and hasn't done what like.
He's the losingest coach in history.
Almost. I think there's one.
Well,
left.
He will be.
Yeah.
I mean, so the fact that you have made a profession out of being a mediocre NFL head coach, the criticism is going to definitely come from all directions. Now, I'm going to bring this back to Greek life, particularly Black Greek life.
Oh, God.
And this is very important, and it's very relevant to what we're talking about. So in Black Greek life, you have your prophites, and prophites are people who came before you, pledged before you. Mm-hmm. And those people, no matter how old school they are, they come back to campus, they tell you what the hell to do. And you're like, okay, big sister. And maybe not like that with that much like timidity, but you still have a certain reverence for the people who came before you and who laid down that path for you to walk that path. I feel like even though Dickerson was a little bit out of line to be as vocal against the Rams, considering they have so many struggles, he's the ultimate pro fight. He's the one who put the Rams, who has Eric Dickerson has made the Rams relevant for all these years.
Yeah.
He is the reason we even still, he is synonymous with that brand. Mm-hmm. Jeff Fisher is Petty Betty.
Wait a minute.
He is Petty LaBelle.
Hold up.
Because.
Petty LaBelle, that's a new
this
one.
This is not Greek life, Erica. This is pro football.
This is pro football.
Eric Dickerson is not the reason that Jeff Fisher is there.
No, I
He's
did not say that.
He said he did not pave the way like a pro fight. Is that what we call it?
A pro fight,
like a
yes.
pro fight. He did not pave the way for Jeff Fisher.
But Jeff Fisher, you are wearing that Rams emblem logo. You are you're representing this organization.
But Eric Dickerson used to wear it. So
okay,
as far as I'm concerned now, like he shouldn't have any say on this organization.
But the fact that his name still comes up every time we talk about rushing records, the fact that we even still talk about the Rams, a lot of that is attributed to Dickerson.
But look at this, though. I think it comes down to this, is that you do not bite the hand that feeds you.
Who's
Eric Dickerson is getting sideline passes from the Rams, and the Rams are like, we're not going to give you sideline passes if you want to talk about that.
Sideline passes, I'm sure.
So now, by yourself.
Or whatever.
So, okay.
By himself.
To defend Dickerson, he said it on his radio station.
570.
Yeah. Is he supposed to lie? Is he supposed to say that the Rams are doing great?
He can talk bad about the Rams all he wants.
Okay.
As far as I'm concerned, Jeff Fisher is a terrible coach. I'm surprised him, mm-hmm. Marvin, what's his name?
Louis Bengals.
Why are they still coaching? But the fact is that, you know, we knew Jeff Fisher was a bad coach.
Yes.
We knew that already. But if you're going to ask for sideline tickets, I mean, you can't go and, you know, say bad things about the people who are feeding
Can
you.
Can you not, though? Do you ever listen to ESPN 710? They have bashed the Lakers for years and years.
But
and
are
years.
They going like, hey, give me some courtside seats for me and my friends to just come and
but
chill?
But I think the Lakers have a certain loyalty for the Kobes and the Magic. Like, Magic Johnson has talked so much shit about the Lakers for the past X amount of years.
And he did distance himself from the team, too.
But please believe that Magic
said... But he wasn't asking for...
But he doesn't have to because the Lakers are an organization that caters to the people who have made them who they are.
Well, listen.
Perfect example, tanking that whole team for Kobe for all those years.
Don't you think it would be awkward if, Eric, come on. If
what?
You were the coach of a team and some guy, and the whatever pro fighter, ex player was like, Eric, you're doing a terrible job. And then next game, they're next to you on the sideline, like, looking at
Brandon,
you.
Okay, you go ahead.
Let me talk. Right, okay.
You wouldn't like this.
Like, okay.
I wouldn't like
them,
but I wouldn't revoke their passes.
Right. Oh, I would.
I think...
Yeah.
No.
Raina.
I don't know. I think personally I don't know. I don't know if this is me, but people are going to talk shit about you regardless. Thank you. And past players, whatever, if they're saying you guys are terrible, you are. If you said you're a terrible coach, you are. What are you going to do? Are you going to just cry after every single comment? I think that, like, you can't take that seriously. Like, okay, he's talking shit about me. Okay, I see him on the sideline. Let me show you what I can do.
Thank you.
I think you should do that. Take that approach instead of like, no, he can't come because he's talking shit about me. That's weak to me.
It wasn't even his call. Fisher made the call because his own organization wouldn't. It was the COO who really didn't want Eric Dickerson on the sidelines. Jeff Fisher made the call man-to-man. Hey, look, we're not going to have you talking about my team. So, like, I don't understand
how it's okay for
Eric Dickerson to say that, but Jeff Fisher can't be like, hey, Eric Dickerson can't face any consequences of what he said?
I don't think so, because Eric Dickerson not only is a Rams great, he's also a media personality. Like, that's what you do as an analyst.
Right, but he wasn't asking for tickets as a media personality. That's a different thing. He's not covering the game. He just wants to chill with his homeboys and show off like, hey, I'm still the man. It's like, why is he? I mean, why can't he just buy tickets on his own? I'm sure he can, right?
But
he was being afforded tickets by the Rams.
Okay.
But if you're going to talk bad about them and slap them in the face, why should he continue to get the benefit?
Honestly, I feel like a bunch of people are talking shit, even on the coaching staff, about the Rams. Yeah. Like, as a coach, you're probably like, oh my God, they're terrible.
The Rams
are
terrible.
But they're just not out where he does. Like, he was saying it on air.
He has a platform.
But coaches, I'm sure the coaches are saying, oh my God, we're terrible as shit this year. Like,
of course, Jeff Fisher knows he's terrible.
That's what I'm saying. So I feel like they it is what it is. You're terrible. There's people on the side that want to watch you. Like, man up, do better, practice, work hard, whatever it is, do what you got to do. People are going to talk regardless. What are you going to do? Like, kick everybody out?
Kick everybody off the sideline.
Yeah,
come on now, Josh.
Everybody's,
the whole Coliseum isn't getting free tickets.
But imagine how many people are on the sidelines who are getting free passes or media treatment that are not supposed to have, credentials.
They're not making comments in the media.
There's no one in the entire city of Los Angeles who's saying anything positive about the Rams.
They're not doing it. But at the same time, everybody in the city of Los Angeles isn't getting free tickets.
But the people who are getting free tickets are talking shit about the Rams.
Like, it's just like, I'm going to stab you in the face, and then you're gonna pay me for it. Why?
Did you see what Snoop Dogg said?
Yeah, Snoop Dogg's he's a Steelers fan anyway. I don't care about
Snoop Dogg. No, but he's getting free tickets, so that's what I'm saying.
That might get revoked pretty
soon. Also, I think there's a lot of, even for the Lakers, like, I love the Lakers, but the Lakers could be terrible, but there's a bunch of people that are getting free tickets because of who they are. And at the end of the day, the Lakers, what can they do about it? Just kick everybody else that they're terrible?
Josh?
Like, just, it is, play hard, get better. Do that.
And
who cares what people say?
And Jeff Fisher is clearly, he's insecure. I feel like Jeff Fisher is insecure because his record of mediocrity speaks for itself. And so if you're so emo, you're sowing your feelings because one of the greatest Rams players ever use his platform as a radio host to speak the truth.
No, he wasn't speaking as a radio host in that at the point. It was an interview to the LA Times.
Okay, well, he was speaking as a fan, a former player. We've seen Magic do it. We've seen Larry Bird do it. We've seen Phil. We've seen all these greats who have had influences and impacts on their former organizations speak disparagingly about the teams that they care for. He should not be. Jeff Fisher needs to get out of his feelings because until you produce on the field, listen. Everyone has a right to have their feelings. I totally get that.
Okay.
I'm not saying that Jeff Fisher cannot feel slighted by those words, but I am saying that as a man, as a professional coach in the NFL, and considering your record sucks, for lack of better word, you cannot go around getting mad at everybody who says something that you don't like.
That's so fourth grade, Jeff Fisher. Call him, you know, straight up and say on the phone. Called him personally. It wasn't like through a PR person.
He did. I bet he did. I bet he wouldn't say it in person. I bet he wouldn't go to his house and say it.
he called him personally. It was like, look, I mean, to me, it just seems simple.
My mom told me to, like, tell you.
Right. It just seems simple. Like, I don't think how you can, I don't see how you can, like, you know, lambast someone and then want something for free from them at the same time. I don't get it.
I think as a person, like if I wouldn't say something about a team and then ask for free tickets. I wouldn't do that. I'm like, okay,
that's
I'm
not
just
even
watch
like
him.
Proper.
That's just not me. That's not you. But that's him. And he's very outspoken. He's the man. Like, let's just give him, he knows that he's a shit. He's gonna
He was, and he just hasn't. He's the you know, the college guy who's going back to the high school.
That's
parties.
What I'm saying. So he's like, he's having on, that. Really? But I mean, okay, yeah, I don't agree with that. I wouldn't do it, but he would do it because that's just who he is. I mean,
he's too old to be on the sideline still kicking it with really? The freshman high school players.
I mean, but he feels like he's the man of the Rams. You know what I'm saying? So he feels like.
In fact, even when the Rams were here, nobody was checking for him over the Raiders, though. I mean, whatever, Eric Dickerson.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. That was fun to watch.
I feel like this has just started some more though. I feel like this is going to start some more because Eric is just talking on and on and on. Well, he's not going to have no
filter. This is the last thing the Rams need. We can all agree on
that. No, this is the first thing the Rams need because the Rams haven't had any excitement. This is the most that anyone has talked about the Rams since they moved to LA. No one's watching this game.
I hope they lose every single game from here on out because, one, they'll fire Jeff Fisher.
Maybe.
They might.
And they'll get a top five draft picks.
Well, you know what they did last time with that? They got Goff and they should have gotten Wentz.
But. While we're on the Rams, you know that they have a Hollywood and football show, E! News reality show that's coming out too? With their wives and the players?
Yeah.
Why?
Because so like,
you gotta win before you do this
people
stuff.
People gonna watch.
People are gonna watch, but I'm saying like that's another distraction that you don't need. You have a terrible freaking season.
Do you play video games? Do you play Madden or anything along those lines?
I'm terrible, but I play 2K sometimes.
In the beginning of the game, the first thing that you play is the Rams playing, and they're like making the playoffs. So they already had this high pedestal for themselves.
Yeah.
Oh, nobody thought the Rams were gonna make the playoffs.
But that's what
this year.
Like they publicized that. They're making their TV shows. I'm hitting shit. They're making TV shows and they're having people in video games, and they're high expectations. When they knew that they were going to do nothing.
Right. They didn't believe it.
If the Rams are winning, would this story exist? No.
No, because the Rams are winning. He wouldn't have anything to say.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I don't think it would be totally different.
It's not for Jeff Fisher to be demoted to, like.
What if Eric tries to coach?
Special teams coach.
Do you think he will ever come back to coach?
No.
He wouldn't be a good coach, though.
I don't think he'd be a good coach.
No, like you said, he wants to go to these high school games. And
he still wants to be the man.
Yeah, he doesn't want to coach.
Yeah, there's a fine line between athletes who want to coach and athletes who. Like, I just don't think he can communicate differently to players to give them, like, show them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you.
He'll just talk shit like, you're terrible. When I was back in my day,
Why do they do that?
Nothing against him, but, like, that as a player, if someone's telling me that, I'm like, okay, old man, I got you. I'm gonna...
Bro, old man.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna go off on you.
Y'all, like, clearly, you guys are super salty because no one would... If that was Emmitt Smith... Or, I don't know, someone else that
would. Ezekiel Elliott would be like, hell on, Emmitt Smith.
And then Emmitt Smith would punch him in the face, and everyone in Cowboy Nation would have his back. And
I don't know.
I'm siding with Dickerson.
No, yeah. I know you're siding with Dickerson, but.
I just feel like, as a player, like. Okay,
college football, really quickly, because this is everyone's favorite. this Saturday is a very big Saturday for college football.
Every Saturday.
Josh, you're learning. Every Saturday is a big Saturday for college football. Go down Sikkim.
Rocky Top. Go down Sikkim.
Hey, the whole SEC East sucks right now. So we're going to talk about the two conference championships that really mean the most. Of course, you have the Big 12 doesn't have a championship game because they're down to 10 teams. Oklahoma and Oklahoma State do play this weekend. It's not really a championship game, although the winner of that clinches the Big 12. You have the SEC championship game in Atlanta this weekend, Florida and Alabama. Florida has three losses. Alabama's undefeated, of course. No one's expecting Florida to have a fighting chance to win. The Pac-12 championship is Colorado and Washington. Colorado's ranked 8th. Washington's ranked 4th. And then the Big 10 championship is Penn State and Wisconsin. I want to know... really quickly, what your predictions are. First, for the Pac-12 championship. Colorado versus Washington. Josh, let's start with you.
Why you got to look over here? You know I don't know.
I got Washington.
I don't know anything about this.
Yes, you can pretend.
I'm picking all top seeds. I'm picking Washington, and I'm picking Wisconsin. Okay?
Really?
No, Washington because that's Pac-12. I gotta go with UW. They're doing good this year. Therefore, they deserve to be in the college football playoff. As far as Wisconsin, what happened last week? Something happened to them last week. Did they play?
They have two losses. So
wasn't there a big game last week with Wisconsin?
Yeah, well, it was Ohio State and Michigan. That was the big Big Ten game last weekend.
Uh-huh. Okay, I'm going to Washington, Wisconsin, only because, like I said,
that's how you feel right now.
That's how I feel.
Okay.
So,
do you really know what you're talking about?
No, I do. I did my research. Colorado has been the sleeper team.
They have been.
The only team that I was feeling that they should have won was against USC, mm-hmm. correct?
But USC was on the up and up at that point.
Exactly, and they've been doing
the hottest team in football right now.
With that said, I see Washington still winning, but I would not be surprised if Colorado took it.
Okay.
If Washington wins, they should go into the top.
For sure. Okay.
With Penn State and I think Penn State's going to take that one. I see them as a better team. It's just my opinion.
Really? Why do you think that, Charlie?
They just are all around.
I hate everybody. I hate everybody on this panel right now. What do you guys know?
I did my research on the top one.
Reyna, what say you?
I say, you guys, after being a fan of college football this whole season, Washington is going to take over Colorado. Specifically because they have two quarterbacks that on defense, they're the dynamic duo in the NCAA. Okay. Like, they're just amazing. And
cite your source.
Browning has been playing well as of late. So I think the momentum is on Washington's side.
Okay.
So
who's
I feel
Browning?
Like well, their quarterback.
Okay.
Oh, you didn't know that?
It's okay. I didn't. I'll admit that. I didn't know that.
Oh, that's okay.
Who's your Big Ten prediction?
So my Big Ten prediction, viewers, is Wisconsin because... To me, I feel...
You're going for the upset.
I am going for the upset. Okay. Because I feel like they're
Wisconsin,
used to playing...
Wisconsin, that's not the upset.
It's the upset.
Well, for some people.
Because they have the better rating, technically.
Well, I just feel like...
Go ahead.
Well, they're used to playing big games. And throughout the season, they've shown that they have a very good offensive line. And
she rehearsed this before she came in, guys.
The reason I say that Wisconsin winning would be, even though they're ranked 6 and Penn State 7, the reason I say that Wisconsin is an upset because Penn State has been to the Big Ten what USC has been to the Pac-12. They have been the team that has gotten hot. And Penn State beat...
Yeah, now that I know.
Okay. Yeah. And Penn State has beat... I think they beat both Michigan and Ohio State. I have to fact check that. Yeah. And both Michigan and Ohio State are in the top five, with Penn State being left out of that.
It was Ohio State, by the way.
Yeah, Ohio State. Yeah.
I watched that
game. That was a great game.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
So good.
So, and I don't even know what the...
What's up in here?
What's
up? Food?
I smell food all of a sudden. I'm going to say Colorado. With the definite upset over Washington. If Colorado beat Washington.
Really?
Yeah, if Colorado beat Washington, that's a clear-cut upset because Washington basically, at this point, controls their own destiny. That loss they had to USC made people doubt whether or not they were as hype as they were up until that defeat. But I'm going to say Colorado because, as you said, Charlie, they have been the sleeper team. And I'm going to say for Penn State, Wisconsin, I'm going to say Penn State. I'm gonna say Penn State gets that win again because they have, they to me look like the most all.
Said the same thing, sir.
Did we say the same thing?
We said the same thing.
Did y'all say the same thing?
I want to put money on that Colorado Washington game though. I got Washington.
I mean, I got Colorado. I bet you $5. I bet you $5.
Do that on DraftKings.
Oh, DraftKings, DraftKings.com. If that's still a thing here. So really quickly, I won't belabor the point because I know you guys love talking about college football so much, but it's going to be really interesting to see what happens when from the champion of the Big Ten championship game, because you have an Ohio State team who is number 2 in the CFP rankings, who's not even playing in the conference championship game, and what has happened in the past traditionally and with BCS before the introduction of the CFP, the conference champions pretty much got the top spots. But Ohio State's not even playing for their conference championship. So that's going to leave a huge sour taste in the mouths of Big Ten fans, because the Penn State-Wisconsin game, unless Clemson loses, unless Washington loses, that game could mean absolutely nothing. And one of those teams will be the conference champions, but still might not get into the CFP, which sucks.
I don't like that.
I think
you should win your conference championship to make it to the playoff. I don't see how you can not win your own conference but still be in the top five.
No, we didn't talk about this, but maybe I'm not educated in it. But why is there not 8 teams going into the
because the CFP. Because the CFP, the induction of the CFP, this is our third season of it, the college football playoff, they thought that a 4-team playoff would be a good way to start it. Now, there's always rumors that it might one day expand to 8 teams and maybe to 16 teams, but they just thought it would be the most succinct way to get the best four teams by having a 14 playoff. So then one plays four, three, two plays three, and then the winner of those games.
I just would love to see him like a low seed team potentially.
Yeah, because there's so many teams out there.
Yeah, and even the top 25. Yeah, isn't that the last 5% that have made it into the playoffs if they go to like the eight?
Well, yeah, I mean, basically, if you go to an 18 playoff, then you'll still have numbers 9 and 10 saying, what about us? We deserve. So I think
okay,
that.
Okay, there's always wanting more.
You're always going to want more. And I think that the CFP is as flawed as the BCS was. A 14 playoff is not the most perfect circumstance, but I think considering that academics first is supposed to be the way of the game.
That's what they say. All the money they make right. on football.
And also because football is such a physical sport, I don't think that it would be fair or conducive, you know, for these kids to go and play another extra game outside of what they're already doing for a regular bowl season or if CFP to make it.
How many are they playing? How many games are they playing?
Your regular football season has, what, 12 games? And then if you get a bowl game, you play a 13th game. But if you make it to the CFP, you play four games. Well, three extra games because you have your conference championship, so that's 13. Then you have your semifinal, and then you have your championship game.
Pay the kids. Pay them.
Pay the kids,
pay
yeah.
them.
Rainer, pay the kids.
Pay the kids. Speaking of the kid that might get paid next year, UCLA freshman Lonzo Ball has made quite an impact on college basketball this season. He's averaging 14.6 points per game, and he leads the nation in assists right now with a 9.1. Last night, he actually had 13 assists in the game. I'm not sure if you guys had a chance to watch him, but he has been compared to the John Wall mm-hmm. at Kentucky. He's a great all-around player. He's very quick. He can pass the ball, obviously. And I think UCLA is going to be a really big contender in the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the questions I want to ask you guys, so because he's already getting they're 8-0 right now. So he's already getting NBA scouts on reports saying that he could be the number one pick in the draft in 8 games into the season. So what are your thoughts about college players leaving early to enter the draft? Kind of topping off on Mayweather's point when you're saying, like, you know, he needs to be, learn how to read and write yeah. and everything. I think, well, I guess I should just start in my opinion, but I do feel like college players should, you know, have some sort of, I think they should at least do 2 to 3 years personally, because I feel like having an education and, you know, having that would be something to back off on, because you could get injured in your first season, and you have nothing to really back yourself up on. So, I don't know, maybe 1 year, 2 years would be great, but that's my thought.
And they
canceled high school, by the way, so they don't have – you can't go into high school for
the NBA,
right? Yeah,
you can't
do that.
I think, who was the last person? LeBron and
– No, I think it was
– Jermaine O'Neal did that?
Jermaine O'Neal did it with Kobe.
Kobe, LeBron, Kevin Garnett.
God, who was the last one? I know this.
How old were they?
They were 18 coming out of high school.
Brandon Jennings?
No, he
played 1 year at
I used to think the same thing as you, that you, like, the kids had to go to school. Now, you know, I'm a huge advocate for getting your degrees, and I told you guys a million times when I was in college, like, Champ Bailey would come back to school and finish his degree. And so, to your point about if you get injured your rookie season, if you are that talented that you get to come out of that you get to skip college or go to the NBA draft early, you have probably made enough money with that guaranteed contract mm-hmm. to support yourself and yep. then pay for your own school if the worst case scenario happens. And I honestly hate to take it back to make it a black thing, but I think this is only a stigma that black dominated sports have. No one says it's about baseball. No one says it's about hockey. No one says these hockey players better get their education.
They go from high school too.
Yeah, to your point, they draft players that are
right?
16.
Hockey, right, like
baseball.
I think this is a black thing, and I'm not. And then listen, I think that every little black boy needs to get an education, especially if it's free, especially if you can use like your athletic scholarship. And I think that if you do leave school early to play, that you need to make sure you have financial advisors to make sure that you go back to school and get your education. But I don't like that everyone's on their pedestal, on their soapbox about making sure these basketball players go to school. Let's make sure these hockey players go to school. Let's make sure these baseball players go to school, too. Everyone needs to have equal opportunities to go to school. Either all of them go to school or all of them have the same opportunity to come out of high school.
How about first year of the NBA, they have to put enough money aside to cover what would be the rest of their college career? And if they pass 4 years in the NBA, they can get that money back? that makes sense? So if they, you know, if they wash out in the first 1 to 3 years, they have money to go ahead and pay for college.
Money speaks. Because
if you're the lowest paid person in the NBA, you're making like $700,000.
But if you're the lowest paid person in the NBA, you're not a one and done. You know what I'm saying? Like a one and done is not making league minimum. Period.
No, not at all. No. But period. I do think the NBA should put some like restrictions on early players coming into the league because financial advisors, yes, maybe even like having them do mandatory, I don't know, just life
tutors.
Lessons, something, because you're having so much money as an 18-year-old, like you don't have to listen to your parents anymore. You don't really know exactly about certain things. You might not. And so you might just blow all your money, and you're an adult now. So I feel like as an 18-year-old coming into the league, like there has to be some sort of guidance or at least something like put
call
in it.
That's Floyd Mayweather.
Call Floyd Mayweather.
Right. Yeah, right.
I don't know. I just feel like if not college, like if you can't put a restriction on like 1 or 2 years, okay. But at least the NBA should take some initiative into coaching these players or at least putting some advisors in their position to offer that help. They might not take it. They might not listen, but at least have it there.
As much as I would love to see that, it won't happen. So these players, they've been bred to do this.
Mm-hmm. Literally.
Literally bred
because
to do this.
Because they're animals, Charlie.
No. God damn. I had a point and then
I'm kidding.
They've literally been bred to do this. And they are, yeah, college is a great option for a lot of people. And these players that are doing great to the point where they're getting these contracts that are astronomical amount of money that they never would have dreamed of, they're not going to turn that down to go to college.
True.
And so I don't think it's ever going to happen. I would love to see it happen. Maybe there's like a psych eval that they have to mentally be
like a Wonderlic test for everyone.
Yeah, because we see it, Lakers, a lot of Lakers, the Snapchat scandal that happens. Yes, that doesn't require to be educated, but it takes street smarts to kind of proceed forward.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I do like that the NBA said no to high school, jump into the league. Oh, yeah. I like that. I mean, do you guys agree with that?
No.
I don't agree with that.
I mean,
if you can get the money when you can get it, I say you get it.
And I only say I don't like it because I think that it should be the same across all the major four. And my
previous point, what I was saying about the league minimum is just to kind of piggyback on Erica's point, is that these guys, at the very least, the worst players making almost $800,000. They should be able to afford college.
Oh yeah, they can
afford
it
if they are injured. Sure, they can go back and afford college if they want to go back.
Kobe did.
You'd be impressed. I'm looking
really?
For. I'm looking forward to the game this.
That's what I was gonna say. They play Kentucky on Saturday.
That's
gonna be a big test
big.
For.
I'm gonna
for
watch
Lonzo.
It.
I'm watching it too. That's just gonna be a
okay.
Big game.
That's funny.
Because now that he's actually, I think that UCLA is actually getting some competition. So these big games. I don't know. I'm just excited to see how Lonzo would do.
Well, North Carolina went down last night, so on any given day, it could be you. On any given day, you could have a brain fart. Any given day, you could be told that your sideline passes have been revoked. Sports Weekly.
You can give them to me. I'm cool with that.
You want Rams sideline?
I'll be smiling the whole entire time. Oh, they're doing great. Good job.
Every Thursday night at 7 o'clock, Sports Weekly. You can find us everywhere. You can find me, Erica Renee Davis, on Twitter, on Instagram, on InstaStory, at Erica Renee D.
Hey, guys. Thanks for watching. My name is Charlie Myers. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, at Charlie L. Myers.
Hey, guys, let's talk basketball. Hit me up on social media.
But only basketball.
JJ the Talented, not college football. You can call Erica for that. I'm basketball dude right now.
Just baseball.
Yeah, guys, just talk basketball with me, too. But women's basketball, too. Don't forget women's basketball with me. You can talk women's basketball. You can talk college basketball, too, by the way, and
okay.
NBA. So just we're the basketball team. Oh, I'm Raina. Raina_Ale, Instagram, Twitter. By the way, follow me. There you go.
As I always, follow all things Black Hollywood Live on blackhollywoodlive.com. Follow us on Twitter at BHL Online. Follow us on Instagram, maybe, Charlie.
Yeah, I'll do
at
it.
At The Sports Weekly. I'll send you pictures. And until next time, go Clippers. We beat the Cavs. Ah!
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live.
the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio. Instagram me at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.